It's Alum Group's Andrea Lay, PacFew's Melissa Burdick, live with me here in Connecticut, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Tree, and I'm PBSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 15th, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them hubristically intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with Retail Wit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Melissa, kick us off.
Hey, Fresh Four listeners. Dollar General celebrates opening its 20,000th store. There you go, 20,000. U.S.-based discount retailer Dollar General has opened its 20,000th store, celebrating the occasion in Alice, Texas. The grand opening celebrations were attended by senior leaders and vendors. Dollar General Executive Vice President of Store Operations and Development, Steve Deckard, commented, "We believe each store provides a positive impact in our hometowns through convenient access to affordable essentials, career growth, opportunities for employees, and the ability for local nonprofits, schools, and libraries to advance through Dollar General Literacy Foundation grants." Dollar General also awarded $20,000 to support educational and tutoring programs through donations to a local library and community group, as well as providing new books to a local elementary school. Dollar General employs more than 17,500 Texas employees through its store, distribution center, and private fleet presence in the state. On to you, Sri.
Thank you, Melissa and Peter. Jessica Alba has actually stepped down as Chief Creative Officer of The Honest Company, a company she founded. So after nearly 12 years of the company, Alba shared the news in an Instagram post on Tuesday, April 9th. "It is with grateful heart that 12 years after founding The Honest Company, I'm stepping down from my leadership role as CCO. However, I will continue to provide strategic advice through my role on the board," Alba wrote. What's next, Peter?
Oreo reimagines ubiquitous internet menu icon to dole out discounts. Mondelez international brand Oreo has launched a commerce activation dubbed the Oreo menu that aims to re-envision the internet's ubiquitous three-line hamburger menu navigation tool as a two-stacked Oreo cookies. Key to the effort is a microsite where consumers can enter any tab or category name they see when clicking on the three-bar menu icon on the internet as a promo code to receive a deal for Oreo cookies that can be redeemed at Kroger as part of an exclusive partnership. The activation includes an explanatory video and is being driven by influencer content along with digital and social media to drive engagement. The effort follows Oreo's first Super Bowl ad in a decade earlier this year. Andrea, what do you have to close us out?
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Shein has copyright infringement baked into its business model. Shein is facing a class action lawsuit that alleges that the fast fashion company uses an industrial scale scheme of systematic digital copyright infringement against small designers and artists, according to court documents last week. Attorneys for the group of plaintiffs say that Shein uses sophisticated electronic systems that algorithmically scour the internet for popular works created by artists and misappropriates these works to manufacture and sell them as Shein products without attribution to the creators. The complaint is the latest in a series of copyright infringement lawsuits filed against the fast fashion giant, including an ongoing one from last year that claimed violation of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act.
Thank you, Andrea. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded.
Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sri and Peter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CPG Guys podcast. I'm PVSB, the membership CPG Guy. My domains of expertise, well, they revolve around CRM loyalty, digital shelf,
retail customer data and insights. My co-host, he's the value size CPG guy, expert at branding, direct to consumer, unified commerce, retail, media, and marketplaces. Boy, that's going to come in helpful today. Please join me in welcoming the man with one name, Sri. Sri, how are you today?
Peter, thank you so much. And you used two amazing words, membership and value. And I'm sure you'll decompose for us shortly where they actually come together.
I think I will, absolutely. Hey, Sri, before we get to our guest today, and we're very excited about our guest, I want to remind our audience that all of our content, we've got, over 100 episodes now, Sri. You can listen to them in audio format on more than 40 platforms. You can watch the full video on YouTube if you're inclined to do so. We've got great content from series around women's leadership, founders, e-commerce profitability, all of that. You can find it by going to cpgguys.com. That's cpgguys.com. And it's all free. We don't charge you anything for it. I mean, everybody can afford that, right? Free? I think it's a pretty good deal. If you want to stay in touch with us and understand what we're talking about, we produce a lot of content. The way we share that, well, we do it on LinkedIn. So go to LinkedIn and just enter in the search bar, CPG Guys. When you get to our page, just click the follow button. Click real easy, and then we'll appear in your feed, and you'll see all the episodes we're publishing, a lot of the research and insights that we're sharing, our POV on everything. It's all there. That's the best way to connect with us. All right. So, Sri, last year in episode 44, you and I spoke with a guy named Stephen Carroll from Sam's Club. He shared with us a great overview of the journey that Sam's Club was undertaking in delivering meaningful retail media solutions for brands to connect with Sam's Club members. Sri, you like retail media, right? That's kind of your jam, isn't it? I think so.
For those on the video.
Yeah, I see. The big heart, big care mark. Nice. On a personal note, I got to tell you, one thing he talked during that episode was about the Scan and Go feature that had been introduced at Sam's Club and then been rolled out into Walmart. That's actually been really transformative for me personally in my physical shopping activity. I started doing that, and I got to tell you, I've become a very devoted Walmart shopper. I don't have a Sam's Club near me, but I have a Walmart. And that Scan and Go feature, wow, what a great tool. It lets me breeze in and out. I don't have to take things once they're in my bag. I don't have to take them out. I don't have to put them on a conveyor belt. I don't have to scan. I just wave my phone at a QR code. You know I love QR codes, Sri. I mean, God, that's just phenomenal stuff. Learned a tremendous lot about it, but we're going to go a little deeper today. So joining us to help us go double-click down into the retail media capabilities that Sam's Club is marketing to brands selling through their digital platform is the head of advertising in partnerships. Sri and I are both incredibly excited to have him join us. Please join Sri and me in welcoming Abhi Subramanian. Abhi, welcome. How you doing today?
Doing great, and thank you for having me today. Speaking of Mr. Carroll, as I would like to call him, the smart guy, we brought him over from Voodoo when we started building the media group ground up at Sam's almost 3 years back. He leads the product marketing and plays a hybrid role responsible for merchant partnerships within my team.
You got a great one there, Abhi.
Thank you. And it's just an example of amazing talent that we have nurtured and grown within Sam's. I've enjoyed your podcast. I have to say that in the last couple of months, you guys are doing a tremendous job connecting with key folks, industry leaders, practitioners across retail, CPG, and the marketing tech. I also very recently noticed on LinkedIn, you recently completed 100 episodes. Congrats to both of you. That's massive, guys. Love your passion, dedication, and extending an ecosystem for practitioners like me to come and learn and contribute back to this community.
Okay, anybody watching on the video seeing me blush now? That is very humbling. Thank you, Abhi. We're very grateful for the kind words. Thank you. Thank you, Abhi. So, Abhi, before we get into the questions, could you help share with our audience a little bit about the role that you play at Sam's Club?
Sure. It's been 6 years since I joined Sam's. I lead the Sam's Club Media Group within our marketing and membership division. responsible for building media partnerships with CPG organizations, suppliers, their brands, and agency partners across all categories. Very fortunate to lead a team of amazing talent consisting of account delivery management, ad sales, product marketing, and strategy for the retail media business. And this is the team that is consistently delivering triple-digit growth for us in the last 3 years.
Thank you for that overview, Avi. I know we're going to double-click down on a couple of the elements of what you talked about. We're going to actually include in the digital liner notes for the podcast a link to your profile on LinkedIn so people can know a little bit more about you and your background, and obviously to Sam's Club so that they can investigate more. But we're really excited to have you expand upon what Stephen shared with us last year. Because I know you've brought even more enhancements here to the portfolio of solutions that you help and offer to brands to engage with members of Sam's Club. First question, straight up the middle, Avi. Is retail media shopper marketing 201 or is it media 201? Is it about audience or conversion? What's going on here?
The answer is not just shopper marketing 201. It is also an understatement if I say it's media 201 either. I would say retail media is the platform retailers like us have enabled, delivering richer omnichannel commerce experience at the perfect intersection of marketing and merchandising, making relevant product recommendations on the site, or for that matter, wherever members are, consumers are, at the club, on the site, samsclub.com, at home, or elsewhere on the web, driving the needed omnichannel conversion. It's the audience. I love your comment about audience of the conversation. Really, it's the first-party data. To be more specific, their purchase intent and the browse data and when they show up within our owned and operated properties, the proximity of how close they are at the bottom of the funnel in the conversion, all of that makes retail media really appealing for our brands. The tools and the capabilities within retail media are much more powerful, getting brands right in front of the consumers when they're shopping, having really the conversation with our members. If leveraged properly, it should unlock newer, accelerated ways of driving the business and the needed growth, enhancing the overall consumer experience on the site, which is absolutely critical for us, especially with Sam's being a membership-driven organization.
Avi, first of all, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for mentioning that we are 100-plus episodes deep. That's incredibly generous of you. You mentioned if done properly, and what a key word that is to brands as well as retailers, right? Every campaign is only as successful as the execution. And in the digital world, I would say dynamic management as opposed to set and watch. So could you decompose for our audience why it is today the single most important vehicle for brands to gain audience and drive innovation launches? And then, you know, traditionally, the way I've grown up over the course of time in the CPG industry is that's what we did with end caps. So are these complementing each other? Like, how does this come together?
It really boils down to the omni-commerce experience we just touched on, that we get to deliver seamlessly to our members and for our brands. It's the closed-loop targeting and measurement system. It's the rise of LiveRamp, Experian, identity resolution partners, AppNexus, Trade Desk, DSPs, and the DFPs that we work with, and other technology platforms. The entire MarTech ecosystem overall, with the evolution of, you guys might have seen very recently all the press and the media around the cookieless world and the privacy concerns constantly growing among consumers, retail media is becoming much more prominent for our brands. It's the opportunity to leverage e-commerce and retail media in general to even build a brand, facilitate key use cases such as product launch, and not just focusing on merely driving incremental ROAS and the performance, right? If it's just the latter, brands are really missing out on a larger opportunity. It's the closer proximity to conversion if you look at the purchase funnel. Speaking of, you know, store display, it is absolutely something that part of the media mix that we provide. We're consciously building in club digital omni capabilities, their positioning as top of the funnel activities, for the brands to build equity with our members, retail media can really be a brand building platform to our suppliers, right? And the conversation has been around anytime they refer to retail media, they keep referring to the bottom of the funnel, but really if it is done right, they can actually build the brand and can leverage RMN, the retail media networks, very wisely. It's the growth being witnessed in omnichannel commerce. It's actually appropriate timing because we just revealed our results for Q1. You might have seen, clearly seeing the shift in the member behavior from shopping in club to pickup and D2H. We saw a huge spike in traffic across all platforms. Mobile engagement is up. In terms of new members shopping online overall, massive growth. That's within even the striking distance of triple digits year over year. And on the curbside, it was clearly a triple-digit growth. We actually launched curbside across all clubs. It's all these capabilities suppliers get to tap on to talk to the consumers directly, connect and build the brand loyalty, leveraging their purchase and browse behavior. All of this makes retail media really appeal and standard for the brands and the suppliers and the CPG organizations we work with.
The one thing I wanted to point out to our audience, because we use acronyms such as ROAS, et cetera, is I want to be the first to agree with Abhi that, you know, retail media needs to be thought of not just as a ROAS generator, but to treat it like regular media, which is exposure. In our world, we call it impressions, which is nothing but how many people have seen the actual advertising. Almost all advertising these days is contextual and highly personalized as it is. So I don't lose sleep over making impressions a very important metric because you are targeting in the first place, unlike the store model. And I wanted to make sure I can say that to our audience.
Very well said, Sri. I cannot agree more.
So, Abhi, first of all, congratulations on your Q1 performance, 47% growth in e-commerce. The entire team should be quite pleased with that. Even above and beyond what it started off last year with tremendous e-commerce growth. So those are really great numbers. So let's talk a little bit about down at the category level. You obviously sell across quite a number of categories at Sam's Club to your members. But which categories are seeing the largest growth in retail media and investment? And which categories should their vendors really be step changing their approach to this?
You will probably be surprised to hear this from me, Peter. It's pretty much every category, right? I mean, you probably saw results. More than 50% of the absolute growth we witnessed actually came from hats, which is a general merchandise category, right? Which is, you know, the home apparel, the tire and the battery center. It's just amazing to see how we are driving amazing growth across general merchandise categories. You know, with CPGs largely within food and beverage and consumables, health and wellness, they're getting very familiar with the framework. And RMN in general, and they also have different buckets of funds, as you very well know, allocated to facilitate the full funnel solution, both inside the retail media and outside at the national the media level, right? The street, probably you're pretty much down into the weeds in your new role. With the consumer shift in behavior to more digital, using curbside, shopping online, all of this is actually helping us, resulting in more traffic. And if it is more traffic, and you all know in the ad world, it is more inventory. And if it is more inventory, it allows us to really target our members to drive the needed conversion, right? And all of this is also helping us get the shift from members shopping just in club traditionally to more online, trying the curbside, trying the delivery to home. And now we are thinking about the delivery business consciously as well, right? So we have many small suppliers that we are beginning to support within the retail media. And with general merchandise categories specifically, we are even observing that lines don't even exist, like we just talked about in case of the traditional CPGs. They're also dramatically changing their models to fit in and support more of the needs that we put out there. And this really results in a growing set of stakeholders, as you can imagine, that we as retailers get to deal with to really get the conversation going. Largely, brands think RMN is bottom of the funnel, like I talked about. And speaking, you know, the definition of the trade is actually getting redefined as we are speaking right now, beyond just price and promotions. Traditionally, brands have kept their dollars separate, and now we are enabling them to go get those dollars and grow beyond just sharing one bucket of money and fighting for those dollars within trade by enabling the full funnel solution. And more importantly, brands need to understand this. We can do a much better job of building equity that they really wanted to go after and feeding it to their commerce media models by showing metrics beyond just the media performance that Sri alluded to. And in our case, we can show membership-specific metrics and the entire landscape of e-commerce metrics that some of our competitors really cannot show yet because of the visibility and the traceability of the data at the transaction level, with us being a membership-driven organization that we have access to, right? And generally speaking, retailers also need to be flexible in optimizing the spend across each of these buckets. We are actively changing the approach internally and consciously thinking about centralizing the ask with suppliers, driving more clarity in the problems we get to solve for them across the purchase funnel. We're starting to put together an integrated engagement model, I would call it, articulating a menu of options to support that brands can choose from. And by the way, that looks very different in each of these categories to solve those specific use cases of the problems they collectively reach out to us for help.
You know, you mentioned RMN, and you know, I love getting into the weeds of retail media. Like the last year and a half, I've spent a lot of time up and down the PPC model, like inside out. You know, even sometimes I'll be managing budgets of $500 on a campaign versus the usual 15 or 20 that I'm used to at a large brand. But I want to jump into the technology aspects of what's going on within Sam's Club. So I'd love to know, what is new with tech being brought into the business every day? And then if we think of a true omnichannel experience, website, mobile, kind of coming together somewhat, app coming together, and then you got the store. And how does it come together from a cart perspective?
We are becoming smarter with the retail media setup specifically. We now have within Sam's the browse data along with the purchase intent data. I know exactly what Sri bought online. I know what Sri bought in club. You know what you did when you swing by the curbside, what you browsed in the last couple of days. Leveraging that data is much more powerful to be able to go after the right audience and launch the program and drive the needed conversion, right? And more importantly, when consumers kind of, when they jump onto the retail sites, as you guys really know this, some of them are very well determined to buy the product, right? They've already made up the mind, the decision already. Some are still researching, and it's a perfect time to interject and connect with them to make relevant recommendations to drive that conversion. And more importantly, you know, from a retailer standpoint, what we are interested in is grabbing their mindset to think about the brands consciously, not just immediately, but also long-term, right? Goes back to building equity that we just talked about. And then I love your comment about connecting all the way from reach and awareness to the conversion. You know, we are in the business of enabling richer ad experiences. We are consciously thinking about activating media not necessarily land on a shelf page or a product page directly, but even to land on brand showcases, right? We have not done this at scale, but we have tried this with some of the bigger brands. And what we are seeing, Sri, is, you know, with cross-category exposure and the time we take to even engineer the user behavior by adding add-to-cart functionalities, you know, and so on and so forth to drive really the focus on conversion and shortening that path to purchase drastically, right? And to give another example, we just launched sponsored products and we are in the process of developing sponsored products at scale, focusing on the curated search experience to improve discoverability of items to raise awareness and enable reach for our brands. And of course, keeping relevancy in mind is critical for our members. And then from an app standpoint, with mobile engagement just skyrocketing, you know, we have the capability to deliver richer experiences, knowing where our members are, whether in club or at home. And, you know, Peter talked about Scan and Go. You know, we are witnessing very high intent and conversion rates. And Scan and Go specifically, it is such an awesome tool that we have put on our members' hands. When they're at the club shopping, they go into the Scan and Go mode. And we're also consciously thinking through a few different use cases to bring in terms of subtle recommendations for our members that is very relevant to them. you know, to what they're shopping currently or something they may have forgotten in the shopping list in the first place. So it's the journey that we are really trying to engineer it right. And we all know it's a consumer dictated retail industry now.
Thank you for that detailed explanation, Avi. I think what I personally, being from a data background and insights background, what I love most about your data set is obviously you have all of the e-commerce transaction data, but add to that the fact that because it's a club store, every single item purchased by a consumer, be it in a physical store or online, can be attributed back to the household. And that means you have a really powerful data set to help determine exactly what kind of experiences to put in front of your members. So let's give our audience a better understanding about the features of retail media that you are offering to brands. Is it SEM, or are there other capabilities in addition to SEM that you make available to them?
Let me begin answering the question by stating this, right? We want to put our members in the experience we want to deliver right at the center of everything that we are putting into in terms of capabilities within retail media, the omnichannel commerce experience, and that's helping a lot. Until last year, quite frankly, it was predominantly display advertising. That too heavily skewed towards desktop and Ember. And last year, you might have heard from Carol. He helped launch mobile app ads, working closely with the product and the technology team. 3 to 4 units in every app page, from homepage to browse to search and the PDPs. It was a huge leg up for us. We are now ad serving even the POVs within the app, right? And it allows us to check the boxes on viewability, and getting it ad served will allow us to tell a much bigger story on the conversion, because we can now connect the dots and bring it to the sales lift reporting. And this year, like I alluded to, we just launched sponsored search with Criteo, their RMP solution. Barely scratching the surface, but it'll be expanding very soon. In terms of creating the new real estate on the site. And more importantly, not just adding new ad units for kind of the sake of creating inventory and trying to grab the ad revenue, but we have uber focused really on delivering the right member experience, bringing the sort of like the marketing and the commerce experience together. And that's our definition of the advertising business within SAMS. We're also going to bring the offline data as you're thinking about sponsored products. I mean, if you go to Google or Amazon and as a consumer, you get exposed to these sponsored ads, you're seeing the conversion, right? It's basically the online attribution and the conversion that you're seeing. But from a retailer standpoint, we have the power of offline data, right? Exposing them to the sponsored products, generating those clicks, and even closing the loop with not just what's happening with the user behavior online, but also in club. Technically, you know, that's going to really help articulate what the ROAS is going to look like, and looking at the attribution window and us being a warehouse club retailer setup. And we have a lot more information on the frequency, the members, and how frequently they're coming into the club and shopping. This is, you know, what I would call a distinctive advantage for us over other e-commerce players out there, right? And then speaking of something in club, in terms of omnichannel capabilities, pickup, D2H sampling, right? I mean, to get the items into the hands of the members, enabling reach and awareness with them, driving sort of the key use cases when they have a new product launch, when they want to get members hooked into the category, they want to win better market share, increasing the basket size, and category expansion is one of those use cases that our merchants are absolutely interested in, growing their categories, right? In terms of setting the tone with our suppliers, we don't really begin the conversation by selling media capabilities or showcasing media offerings, which is why I kind of commented on it's neither the shopper marketing nor the media 201, right? At SAMS, we talk about enabling access to our members, the problems the brands want to solve. This is what will help define what the campaign strategy is, and will be first followed by the media plans and everything else. You know, having that conversation in the first place. We are also learning how to take a consultative approach. It sounds simple. You know, I've spent a lot of years before joining SAMS, you know, across several consulting organizations, but it really ends up being the core framework to consciously solve the problems with the richness of the member data we bring to the table, enabling personalization at scale. I saw some of your practitioners in your prior podcast talking about it. We're thinking about offers that can be actively redeemed by our members. We do a better job today kind of targeting specific members that will drive category consumption. First of all, to even get them hooked to core categories, followed by increased consumption, going after lapse, getting them to repeat behavior, you know, really shopping more frequently and adding one more item into the basket. We do instant savings today and 8 times in a year. And I'm sure you guys, if you're Sam's Club members, you'll receive that book in your mailbox. You know, that largely drives volume within our core categories. But at the same time, we're also seeing a lot of, witnessing a lot of passive redemptions. How do we turn them into more of active redemptions using offers to unlock the right behavior? This is going to be critical. We know personalization is going to really play a critical role with us being a membership-driven organization for us to drive that stickiness with our members. We also strongly feel data partnerships, speaking of the evolution of retail media, with our advertisers are going to be critical. But doing it in a meaningful way, protecting our member privacy is going to allow us to, you know, serve the retailers better to go after a bigger unlock. Of course, owning the activations on our side. You heard about Walmart launching Trade Desk Workbench, right? Really being flexible and giving brands opportunities to go elsewhere over the internet to, you know, work this through and go after incremental audiences and drive better conversions wherever they are. They could be on weatherchannel.com. They could be on ESPN.com. You know, we are thinking about a similar approach as well. We do offsite today through AppNexus, but we want to kind of create a workbench with a clean glass room, I would call it, where brands can bring in the data and be able to think about it collectively. And from a platform standpoint, connecting the dots with what she was talking about from technology side, we are actively kind of seeking enhanced solutions to name a few creative automation, self-serve tools to make it easier for brands to work with retail media, right? I mean, Amazon, one of our core competitors, have done a phenomenal job of creating that ad ecosystem. And especially in a growing complex digital environment with multiple agencies involved, we really wanted to make it easier for them. So these are the things that we are really focusing on, and we believe is going to really drive the momentum within retail media.
Abhi, you said a lot about what brands, you know, what you're working on in terms of, you know, data partnerships, things of that nature, personalization, reporting. If I'm a brand, I would love to know, what exactly does the partnership entail? Do you, is there the opportunity to do dynamic media management, because at the end of the day, sponsored search is a PPC model at the end of the day. And then on top of that, what kind of data do you provide? Do you work collaboratively to advise a brand in terms of what sort of campaign to run? Is it different by, is the, would the advice change by category? I'd love to go inside. What is it that a brand can expect when they choose to partner with you and execute on the platform?
Absolutely. And, I personally love this question, Sri, and a hot topic indeed. And you won't be surprised. I connected with a couple of the C-level folks within major CPG organizations, along with Tony and Adrian, you know, as along with the merchants as well. And this is something I'm constantly hearing, right? It's indeed, especially the evolution of like the retail media networks. Let me begin by saying we have built a very powerful platform that brings together the connection points with a longitudinal view, enabling everything that you just talked about, right? Cross-channel exposure views, whatever channels it is, right? Online, offline, email, site placements, social. We do a lot of work with Pinterest. The brand teams can now connect to the opportunity, whether it's broad reach performance marketing views or specific e-commerce goals that they want to tap on, right? Driving penetration and getting to change the consumer behavior to shop through curbside or use app and use more delivery to home, right? And kind of really think about growing the transactions in the basket. Gone are those days where, we were reporting out on the performance of the campaign 6 to 8 weeks after it was executed. And the media performance is shared with the ROAS number. Great. But these are primarily still, you know, in our head and what I've heard from the different brands is still answering what happened, right? But we also do believe in being more proactive about it and enabling insights for brands to plan their programs, keep a tab on what's going on with their brands within participating categories. Where are they winning? Where are they losing? Who is shopping their brands? Who is not shopping their brands? All of this is going to help frame the problem or the opportunity right and kind of drive the right actions. And this is where we are really taking this consultative approach and we are working on the platforms to bring it together where our true vision is to really create a flywheel, sort of enabling the insights to activation. The Member Connect platform powered by IRI technology, you know, it has all the core elements of the media platform, such as audience building, the infrastructure needed to facilitate the closed loop targeting and measurement that you just talked about to create, launch, and report out on the performance of campaigns. The goal is to really help leverage analytics to get to the insights quickly. And I'll tell you this, largely in today's world, we are letting brands to spend like 80% of the time with the lack of better term, not having enough data, not having visibility into the transactions, you know, even to get to the insights, right? And you're left with very few amount of time to even align on what actions you want to take. We want to really change that framework, right? And then to your point, we also want to think about allowing brands to optimize incremental sales during the program, in campaign, to be able to maximize the ROAS and some of the metrics they want to look at, aligning closely with the campaign strategy and the objectives they have put in place. You know, and I also, you know, we are very keen on tracking customers over time and what I would call the lifetime value and build on that, right? I think it's important for us to allow brands to move away from what I would call just the media performance and the reporting to do all of the things that I just talked about. And the one topic that I keep hearing, and Sri, I'm not surprised that you brought the same topic as well. The measurement is now becoming the holy grail, right? That's exactly the words I heard from the CMO of Kellogg's a few days back. Especially with RMN, there is a lot more to it beyond just ROAS and the performance reporting, and you just alluded to it. Brands are asking for translating the media performance to what happened at the brand level so that the sales team, the e-commerce team can understand the story better, see the impact and conversion, even compared to some of the top of the funnel activities that they do elsewhere outside of the retailer network, right? And be able to supplement and complement in terms of what is happening at a retailer level as well because of the visibility they have to the consumers and the data that we bring to the table for them. Speaking of which, we provide membership metrics of those who converted, how many are new to the brands. We recently started providing e-commerce breaks, conversion within curbside, delivery to home, category performance, whether they are over-indexing or under-indexing with the overall category, the market share, the leakage information, to really articulate the right opportunities for brands to, you know, wisely spend their dollars and drive that efficiency in that conversation and impact the needed growth and ROI. You know, that's what I would believe is going to allow us to grow the retail media business. And we are in this to grow this together with the CPG organizations. And if you don't drive that performance, we won't be able to really grow the business as well to help serve to the what you call the cost to serve model that we are incurring on the retailer side because of all the conveniences we had to extend. But really, that's where the magic gets unlocked.
We go into the next question. You used a very important word that the industry has largely struggled with in the last 10 years. E-commerce has really been proficient in CPG, and that is incrementality. The question that the industry has been struggling to answer is e-commerce incremental? And what I heard you say, and I really want to point it out because it's a pivotal statement that we're going to put out here on the CPG guys, that you actually give metrics to show which new members are coming into the product that haven't bought it before, which is like true incrementality. Did I hear that right?
Absolutely, Sri. And that's where we make the difference, even compared to the other retailers.
Abhi, you gave us a really great detailed explanation of what vendors can expect from Sam's Club in working through your capabilities. So let's bring this all home and actually get your perspective on the vendor side. You know, what are the behaviors and activities on their side that are ultimately going to lead to a best-in-class partnership with Sam's Club?
Love that question. And I have to be humble and I have to reflect on this learning curve and the journey we are in right now. Let me begin by saying we truly believe in having merchant alignment, right? And starting with JBP's aligning on what I would call shared objectives. And that's one of the mantras that I've put out there for my teams. Be involved and get integrated into the supplier side of the business, into their strategic planning, and bringing in that strategic thinking, right? How can we supplement and complement and help each other? Coming in with that partnership mindset, if I can put it that way, right? We are trying to grow each other's business. Planning up front, of course, is going to be critical and staying ahead of the game. Thinking through the programs and the spend, we have solved the supply issue that we had almost 2 years back, specifically within Sam's, because we're limited on the inventory, right? I mean, we don't have millions of SKUs, and we don't have all the pages that Walmart and Amazon's of the world have too. So we had to curate the inventory, constantly, you know, engineering the consumer behavior and figuring out where to put those ad slots and bring up those subtle recommendations and not be intrusive, for the lack of a better term, while members are trying to get to their products that they have in mind, right? Now we have like the inventory needed to support, like I talked about, across the different platforms, but still to a greater extent, especially when suppliers need to tap on behavioral targeting. You know, not all members are omnichannel. So we are kind of, we are blessed. And at the same time, we have this issue of ensuring that we are allowing our brands to tap onto the behavioral targeting. They need to plan this right for them to really, truly get their hands on it, right? And not everyone will get to really have 100% of the media plan on the behavioral targeting. There are contextual ads. There are other things that we do run off site, but I think that's critical. Having that upfront planning will allow us to really pick on the right partners to open up additional opportunities and give them the best and be able to drive the best conversion. Aligning on core timeframes is critical. And you guys will definitely agree to this, like the key seasonal time periods, product launches, core use cases where the brands need help. Almost taking a use case driven approach. We are rapidly building all these new capabilities. You know, last year we launched app. This year we're talking about sponsored search. We're going to talk about scan and go recommendations. Be part of it, right? Be an innovation partner to kind of test and learn. Take that approach as we are launching each of these new capabilities. The learning is going to be amazing as part of this, right? Because you get to learn as we are kind of launching these products and exposing to minimal traffic and growing and making it available to 100% of the traffic. You get to understand the consumer behavior as well if you're a part of this game early enough. And then be in the business of providing constant feedback. I've not shied away from saying the right things and being bold. You know, data, reporting, and other needs that we just talked about to unpack the growth. We have built stronger relationships within our brands, and it is constantly evolving too, to Sri's point. At the same time, wearing this partnership hat and we are in this together attitude is what is really going to unlock the opportunities for us.
That is awesome. So I feel like the next question I wanted to ask you, you've kind of partially answered, but it has more to do with your advice to the industry in general, not specifically brands. You know, I think when I think of the industry, I think brands, retailers, as well as service providers who constantly are putting out, and you said you've heard quite a few of them, even on our show, right? What would be your advice to the industry? And what, especially if you wore the mindset of, in the last year and change, there have been a handful of categories which have seen phenomenal growth in the omnichannel world leaning towards e-commerce. And what would that advice be?
You can really test whether I've heard some of your podcasts or not, because some of this is really coming from some of the practitioners who have shared with you guys, right? And the questions that you have cropped up in your prior episodes. And in my experience in the last 3 to 4 years, really working on the e-commerce side and growing this business, here is how I would put it. The retail media networks can help launch and build brands. Building equity with consumers, driving loyalty and stickiness, and stop looking at RMNs as just bottom of the funnel, right? That's how I would put it. And get And don't get sidelined by just looking at ROAS and the conversion, right? I mean, we probably mentioned it quite a few times, and I really want to anchor that message here. There's a lot more to unpack. Yes, that is critical, but that is not the only thing you evaluate the retail media networks, right? The key is to really approach this with the right mindset. Understand, you know, in big terms, the cost to serve. Like I talked about, all the conveniences that we are extending to our members, that is constantly changing. And to be able to build the right omnichannel economic model is absolutely critical to strike the win-win outcome, both for us as retailers and for the brands. And retail media will increasingly play a pivotal role for brands, especially with the cookieless world fast approaching, with all the craziness that we are observing, bringing in the purchase intent data and tapping onto that is much more powerful than data that is provided based on interest or just on demographics or psychographics, right? I think that is what, in a nutshell, what I would advise and what I would keep my eyes on as I'm growing this business, as I'm trying to really learn from the industry as well.
I want to remind all our audience that our content available on 40 platforms, the videos on YouTube, our documents from our profitability series, even a list of all the podcasts that Sri and I like to listen to when we don't listen to ourselves. It's all available. It's free. Just go to cpgguys.com. We're an audience-driven podcast, which means that the people we invite on and the topics we discuss, well, they're driven by you. And the best way for you to tell us what you want is to go to ratethispodcast.com/cpgguys. Leave a review there. And if you're so inclined, give us a rating too. We appreciate that feedback as well. Very helpful to us in guiding the direction of this podcast. Sri and I have been extremely fortunate to have as our guest today Abhi Subramanian, the head of advertising and partnerships at Sam's Club. Abhi, thank you so much for joining us. What we're going to do in the digital liner notes is we'll have a link to both your profile and is there anywhere else we should be driving vendors who are interested in learning more about Sam's Club to go visit to experience what you have to offer?
Yeah, just as simple as even giving me a call. Reach out to my teams and they're always available to help. I can be reached via LinkedIn. We have an awesome product marketing team that can immediately follow up and follow through to ensure brands are getting the right help. And of course, our ad sales teams can be tapped on as well. Thank you guys for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I assume a lot of the brands listening who are already engaged with Sam's understand that. But hopefully after they listen to this episode, they'll be inspired to expand the opportunities that they have at Sam's Club. So thank you for joining us today, Abhi. We really appreciate it. Sri, in automotive terms, right, is your retail media tank on full? Is it overflowing right now?
Yeah, as you can guess, Peter, I have 100 questions more that I'd love to chat with Abhi and get out for our users. So hopefully we can have you back soon in another episode, Abhi, where we can get more into the tacticals of measurement and how value is created every single day. Peter, this was a pleasure.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And to our audience, we thank you for joining us on this journey, and we look forward to talking to you on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.